I'm Barbara Lane, Director of Arts and Ideas at the Jewish Community Center of San Francisco, and I welcome you to Bina, KALW's program featuring creative voices from the JCCSF. In this series, we bring you remarkable artists and thinkers who've come to speak at the JCCSF as part of our Arts and Ideas program. On this edition of Bina, our guest is United States Poet Laureate Juan Felipe Herrera. And now, join me on stage at the JCCSF as I introduce Juan Felipe Herrera. This year, Juan Felipe Herrera was appointed United States Poet Laureate, the first Mexican-American to hold the position. In announcing his selection, Librarian of Congress James Billington said Herrera's poems contain Whitman-esque multitudes that champion voices, traditions, and histories, as well as cultural perspectives that serve to illuminate our larger American identity. As a child, Juan Herrera learned to love poetry by singing about the Mexican Revolution with his mother, a migrant farm worker in California. Inspired by her spirit, he spent his life crossing borders, erasing boundaries, and expanding the American chorus. He's the author of 30 books, including collections of poetry, prose, short stories, young adult novels, and picture books for children. His most recent poetry collections are Notes of the Assemblage and Senegal Taxi. In 2014, he released the nonfiction work Portraits of Hispanic American Heroes, which showcases 20 Hispanic and Latino American men and women who've made outstanding contributions to arts, politics, science, humanitarianism, and athletics. His books of prose for children include Upside Down Boy, which was adapted into a musical for young audiences in New York City, and he says he's working on another musical, and Cinnamon Girl, Letters Found Inside a Cereal Box, which tells the tragedy of 9/11 through the eyes of a young Puerto Rican girl. As California's Poet Laureate from 2012 to 14, Juan Felipe Herrera created the I Promise Joanna Project, an anti-bullying project, poetry project. Joanna was an elementary school girl who was bullied and killed in an after-school fight in Long Beach. The first half asked students to send in poems about experiences and effects of bullying. The second half of the project is to take action in preventing bullying. Other projects included Answer Cancer with a Poem, Show Me Your Papers, and the most incredible and biggest poem on unity in the world. Influenced by Allen Ginsberg and Luis Valdez and his own immersion into the Chicano civil rights movement, Herrera writes passionately about social issues. He's also a performance artist and activist on behalf of migrant and indigenous communities and at-risk youth. His work has been known to cross genres, even into opera and dance. And now, without further ado, our U.S. Poet Laureate, Juan Felipe Herrera.
Oh. All right. Muchas gracias. Thank you so much. I want to thank the Jewish Cultural Center for inviting me. It's a great privilege to be here. It's a great honor to be here. Many of my teachers were Jewish, and they were the ones who encouraged me mostly and gave me so many key words and key books and told me many things and asked me many things that kind of shattered me on the spot. And I had to deal with those questions and deal with those phrases. Mr. Schuster in seventh grade, my music teacher, said, "What are you?" And I had to deal with that. I had come from San Francisco and gone back to San Diego. And I said, I'm Hawaiian. I'm Hawaiian. I had a hard time saying Mexican. I had a lot of Filipino friends in the Mission District. And I guess I wanted to be Hawaiian, but I really wasn't able to say Mexican. So because of Mr. Schuster's question, who was a great music teacher and wanted me to be in band, which I wanted to be in, I said, "No, Mr. Schuster, I'm not going to be in band. I have to work on something. I have to work on telling the truth and I have to work on standing up, and I have to work on speaking out, and I have to work on getting my real voice out there. So I'm going to go into the class I do not want to go into. I wanted to be here. This was my dream, to play that saxophone. But I'm going to give it up, because I want to say who I am. And I'm going to be in choir. Because, you know, choir, you know, you get called on. Juan. Yes, Dr. Rossi. Can you please step up? But I'm okay, Doctor. No, please step up. But Dr. Rossi, I can. Please step up. And you have to sing by yourself to the piano, after you hear the piano, without the piano. And that's what you have to do every day for years. And okay, Juan, go ahead. Can you play that again, Mark? Da 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 da. Ring. Da 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 da. Was that good enough, Dr. Rossi? Da 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 da. So the time came in the late 60s and early 70s when we were all involved in that beautiful thunderstorm of inspiration and reclamation of who we were. It wasn't just me. It was all of us. And right there in front of the fire, in front of the various forces that we had to deal with when we wanted to speak up as a whole, as a group, as various groups and social movements in the universities here in the Bay Area and throughout California, throughout the nation, and throughout the world. And the thing, I guess, was to grasp our stories and to bring out our stories in the present, to the public, for the public, and to listen to the people's stories, and to write them down. Let us gather in a flourishing way, with sun loose grains abriendo los cantos, opening the songs que cargamos cada día, that we carry every day, and el young pasto nuestro cuerpo para regalar on those green grasses, our body to give. Feliz perlas, pearls, happiness, of corn flowing, árboles de vida, those trees of life, en las cuatro esquinas, on the four corners. Let us gather in a flourishing way, contentos, llenos de fuerza, filled with happiness, of strength, to vida, giving nacimientos and births and rebirths and renaissances, to fragrant ríos, dulces, frescos, verdes, turquoise, green and sweet, and fresh and strong, carne de nuestros hijos, carne de nuestras hijas, flesh of our bodies, of our sisters and brothers and daughters and sons, rainbows let us gather in a flourishing way, en la luz, en the light, en la carne, in the flesh of our heart, to toil tranquilos, in serenity, in peace, in fields of blossoms, juntos to stretch los brazos together. May our arms come together, tranquilos in peace with the rain, en la mañana, in the morning, temprana estrella on our forehead, that morning star, cielo de calor and wisdom to meet us, that heaven, that firmament of heat and light where we toil forever, siempre. In the garden of our struggle and joy, let us offer our hearts a saludar, to greet our águila rising, freedom, our eagle freedom, our rising eagle freedom, to celebrate woven brazos, branches, ramas and branches, and ramas and piedras and stones and nopales and cacti and plumas and feathers and piercing and bursting and figs, aguacates and ripe mariposa butterfly fields, and mares claros and clear seas and oceans, of our face to breathe, todos, all of us, en el camino, on this road, on this path, blessing, seeds to give, to grow. Maíz land, that land of sacred corn, en las manos, in the hands of our nuestro amor. Thank you so much. So that's how I started, you know. That's where we started with those harmonics, those harmonics of our lives, those languages, those frontiers, those woven wounds and frontiers and borders and languages and both languages and three languages, Spanish and English and something that we created, right? And it was just the way we said it. It was just the way we said it. So time passed, and I was here in the Mission District in the Bay Area. I had been here in the 50s. My mother was, she called herself a salad girl. Era una salad girl, Juanito. Yo era una salad girl. And at St. Francis. So she used to work in the St. Francis as a salad girl in the 40s. And I always thought about that, a salad girl in the 40s at the St. Francis. And she told me about the movies that were playing in those days and the silent movies she loved to see, and Fatty Arbuckle and Gloria Swanson and Charlie Chaplin and just her life, you know, in San Francisco. So we came back in the 50s and then back to the fields. My parents were farm workers, and there was a time when my mother was here in the Bay Area before she got on the farm working road, and after she had been a washerwoman, to use that odd word, in El Paso and throughout California. So then the question became a question of, am I an immigrant? Are we immigrants? Are we migrants? Are we what? I think we are immigrants, but how could that be, since this land was our land? But so maybe we're just migrants, migrating like we have always migrated, from family to family, from trail to trail, to find that shrine where former families lived and to find an abode there. So maybe we're immigrants and migrants. But then again, there are laws that prohibit that and prohibit speaking in Spanish in the schools and in other places. So I guess we're none of those. So I guess we're something like exiles. But exiles of what? From where? So I wanted to look into those questions in the early 80s. And I wanted to write about them. Exiles of Desire. And I heard an unending scream piercing nature is the epigraph from the diary of Edvard Munch, 1892. At the Greyhound bus stations, at airports, at silent wharfs, the bodies exit the crafts. Women, men, children, cast out from the new paradise. They are not there in the homeland, in Argentina, not there in Santiago, Chile, never there in Montevideo, Uruguay, and they are not here in America. They are in exile, a slow scream across a yellow bridge, the jaws stretched, widening, the eyes multiplied into blood orbits, torn, whirling, spilling between two slopes, the sea black, swallowing all prayers, shadeless. Only tall, faceless figures of pain flutter across the bridge. They pace in charred suits, the hands lift, point and ache and fly at sunset. As cold, dark birds, they will hover over the dead ones, a family shattered by military, buried by hunger, asleep now. With the eyes burning, echoes calling, Joaquin, Maria, Andrea, Joaquin, Andrea. En exilio, from here we see them. We the ones from here, not there or across, only here without the bridge, without the arms, as blue liquid quenching the secret thirst, of unmarked graves, without our flesh journeying refuge or pilgrimage, not passengers on imaginary ships sailing between reef and sky. We that die here awake on Harrison Street, on Excelsior Avenue, clutching the tenderness of chrome radios, whispering to the saints in supermarkets, motionless in the chasms of playgrounds, searching at 9 a.m. from our third floor cells, bowing mute, shoving the curtains with trembling speckled brown hands. Alone, we look out to the wires, the summer, to the newspapers, wound in knots as matches for tenements. We that look out from our miniature vestibules, peering out from our old clothes, the father's well-sewn plaid shirt pocket, an old woman's oversized wool sweater, peering out from the makeshift kitchen. We peer out to the streets, to the parades. We the ones from here, not there or across, from here, only here. Where is our exile? Who has taken it? Thank you so much. I made some notes, which is kind of a new thing for me. Because, I wanted to kind of say how I got to those pieces, all of us write while we're kind of burning, and I don't really have ideas why I'm writing. I have like a melody maybe, a phrase, if I'm lucky. Or this big wild concept that ends up being one poem. I have a wild concept for a whole book, and then it ends up being four poems. The concept world says, well, Juan Felipe, that's a really good concept, but we want to give you just four poems. That's a four-poem concept, Juan. It isn't a 48-poem concept. And it's not definitely a 64-page concept, but you got four good pages there. So this comes from that. The idea was to write a wetback alphabet. And then I called it webback alphabet. And then it turned into something like this. And a number of these, I'm going to read one. It's called Blood Gang Call. Calling all tomato pickers, the ones wearing death frowns instead of jackets, calling all orange and lemon carriers, come down the ladder to this hole. Calling all chili pepper sack humpers, you, yes, you the ones with the crucifix. Calling all garlic twisters, caught in the winter spell of frozen sputum. Calling all apple tossers high up in the heaven of pesticides stick-faced. Calling all onion priests and onion nuns and onion saints killing for rain. Calling all tobacco pullers, thick leaf rollers in the ice burn of North Carolina. Calling all melon pitchers in the rivet machine in the assembly bed of bones. Calling all artichoke pressers kneeling and at the mount of signs chanting Om. Calling all peach slicers preserving shells in the form of a tiny orange fetus. Calling all lettuce skirts kicking lust down to the underworld soul prison. Calling all watermelon shiners paring the sugary womb in search of goddess. Calling all cotton pilots, calling all cotton pilots, seeding the froth on my mother's grave rebellious. Calling all strawberry weavers, threading your wire mesh heart with thorns. Calling all tomato pickers, the old ones wearing frayed radiator masks. That's all still going on. That's all still going on, as you know. My father worked those fields when he was in his, all his life. He worked those fields in his 60s, and he worked those fields in his 70s. I used to see him take off with this, with sharp knives, curled like eagle nose knives, and he would take off to Fresno to work in those burning, scorching fields. And those fields are still there. And the workers are still there.
You're listening to United States Poet Laureate Juan Felipe Herrera on Bina, a series featuring creative voices from the Jewish Community Center of San Francisco. Bina is also available as a podcast, and you can find it at kalw.org.
So that's how it is. We write for our communities. We write for ourselves. We write for each other. And we do the best we can. They're little words. They're around this big. The page is maybe twice as big as your hand. And it goes in a little book and it's put in a shelf. But there comes a moment when we get to say those words. Or when you get to pick up that book, and maybe there's a little shimmer that touches our heart, and we can see that field and that human being. And sometimes we look at the sky and pull away from what happens on the earth. It can begin with clouds, how they fray. How they enter, then how they envelop the earth in a second or two. They vanish. You touch them. They take you. You find yourself in their absence. Sometimes you read them somehow. The separation, the losses, the sky, yes. It is the sky they were talking about. The character for sky. You are there now. You have always been there now, where there is fire and thunder face behind the torn universe. You can see this, how it shreds itself, so you can see this. That is all there is. Then nothing again. Then you again. And the clouds, they come to you. And you pass. And it's good to entertain the clouds. You know, we all do that, and it's so beautiful, especially with the light here in San Francisco, in San Pancho, la luz en San Pancho. And it's good to get out there, you know, to get way out there and see what we can find, to explore and be in touch with our lives, and to explore and kind of be in touch with this whole life. This is called Untitled, Unfettered. Really, truly breathe. Unfettered by the obligatory frames we cast for ourselves. It does not matter. Nevertheless, the question is, what are you going to do with all this life? For some odd reason, it is yours. You can live it. Not all of it, but you can live it for a little while. And if you do, you really will not need to live all of it. And I was so happy when I found that poem. I was just so happy. I go, gee, Wawa, what happened? What happened? You know? And then I was reading recently about Einstein's when he got kind of stuck and working that magnificent, incredible, unpredictable, unimaginable theory of relativity. He kind of got stuck in the whole thing, and he goes, I'm going to take a break. And I'm going to have an experimental moment, right? An experimental thought. So he just would leave all that, all those equations and chalkboards behind, and he would say, I want to have an experimental thought. I want to imagine an elevator flying, falling down space, through space. And I'm hoping I'm going to figure out this thing about time and gravity and space. And I'm having a hard time with that equation. So he sees the elevator fall down, and he sees the body inside the elevator float. And he goes, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to shoot a beam through that elevator, a light beam. See what happens. Yeah. All right. Whew. And he's imagining that elevator coming down and that body floating up. And he shoots a light of light beam through that elevator. And that light beam goes, all right. It bent. Light can bend. Light bends. Gravity, time, light, space, time. He goes, all right, I feel good. And he went back to the equation and he solved it. So poetry is that, right? Poetry is that experimental thought. And people ask me, well, what's poetry for, Juan Felipe? I said, ask Einstein. And you'll find out what it does. You'll find out what it can do. You know, it allows that openness, that discovery, that amazing, complex thing to be designed and expressed. Ayotzinapa, for the students, for Mexico, for the world. From Ayotzinapa, we were headed toward Iguala to say to the mayor we wanted funds for our rural school for teachers. It was a protest for our school. That is all. Rural teachers. Nothing more, nothing less. We were protesting for funds. That is all. We were surrounded by police and their cronies. They fired their guns. They burned us. They dismembered us in trash bags. They threw us into the river. Yet, we continue. Yet we march from here, from the bowels of Mexico. This river that floods all the schools, all the universities, and all the floors of the emperor's palaces. We continue. At 24 years of age, we make way through the massacre here, from where we were born, from where we died, toward all the cities in the world, toward all the students and the teachers in the world, demonstrating on all the streets, sprung open, incandescent. No one knew it. No one saw it. We are leaving this number, 43, for you. Because there were 43 of us. We are not disposable. Íbamos de Ayotzinapa a Iguala para decirle al alcalde que queríamos fondos para nuestra escuela rural, para maestros y maestras. Era una protesta por nuestra escuela que es solo para maestros y maestras rurales. Nada más, nada menos, protestábamos solo para obtener algunos fondos. Fuimos rodeados por la policía y sus cómplices y nos dispararon, quemaron nuestros cuerpos, los desmembraron y en bolsas de basura nos arrojaron al río, pero aún seguimos, aún marchamos desde aquí, desde las entrañas de México, este río que inunda todos los salones, todas las universidades y todos los pisos de los palacios de los emperadores. Aún seguimos a 24 años de edad, nos abrimos paso a través de la masacre aquí, desde donde nacimos, desde donde morimos, hacia todas las ciudades del mundo, hacia todos los estudiantes y maestras y maestros del mundo, protestando en todas las calles súbitamente, quebrando incandescentes. Nadie supo, nadie lo vio. Aquí dejamos este número 43 para ti, porque éramos 43 nosotros, no somos desechables. You know, so much happens in our lives, in our cities, as you know, in our histories, in our histories, on our earth. And if we do not speak, who's going to speak? If we do not speak, who's going to speak? If we do not cross those borders and speak, who's going to speak? If we do not cross those borders, who's going to cross them so we can speak? Yes, we have brothers and sisters in Mexico. Yes, we have brothers and sisters in Africa. Yes, we have them all around the world. This is from Senegal Taxi. Senegal Taxi. This is an experiment. This is the one that I was granted. Yes, you can do Senegal Taxi. It was a tough call. It was a tough call. Darfur. How to talk about it? Yes, it's over, and perhaps it continues. How to talk about it? How to write it? I remember in the mission in San Francisco, we had so many battles. So many battles about what to write, what we couldn't write, and from what ground could we write. We still have those battles big time. And I think we can write from all grounds. Three African children, their whole family has been massacred. Whole village has been burned. You know this story. And they're running, but they're ghosts now. And the oldest one, Ibrahim, leaves stories in mud on walls as they run. And there's Ibrahim, and there's Abdullah, and there's Sahel, the little girl. But there's also other voices that I said, I want to have those voices speak. I need more voices. We need more voices. So there's the ant, there's a Kalashnikov, and the Antonov bomb that I called on to speak also. Here's the village ant. Mud drawing number 7. And leg muscle and hand scab and eye sinew and dust in groin and sweat on nose and green on nose and red from nose and tongue crawl and bird beak and bird eye rot and bee head rot and thorn and black and half fly on back and wings float and hairs burn and tiny worm on baby head and worm again and lice on baby hand and green again and blue cloud on woman belly and blood on black and blood on black and blood on dog and yellow skin on bone. And here's mud drawing number 8, the Antonov bomb. Children crumbling, children hiding. Here I go down below with one I made of iron. And the Kalashnikov, AK-47. Some refused to crawl. Some held a marriage ceremony later in the night and sang songs of lovers about to taste their flesh. Others formed a circle around them and hummed and bowed their heads and churned their bodies as if they were one. My father's open face of fire flowers did not matter to them. I came down the mountain in full gallop with my sister Mortar and my brothers of the Kalash. Mud drawing number 10. Sahel, the village girl. I am spelling Africa. I am spelling Sudan. I am spelling Darfur. I am spelling Janjaweed. I am spelling the name of the president of Sudan, Omar Hassan Ahmad al-Bashir. And the Kalashnikov. In my language of Kalash, I spoke to them for the first time. I said, "Help me. Take me with you. Wipe my face. I am scarred and bloody. I suffer from tempests, from implacable winds between my temples. I want to taste what you taste, cruel breads, stews of knees and boiling tongues, putrid waters. I only know the young hands and the uncertain fingers of my master. So I was born. So was my destiny. It is the mountains that I love. I call to them, and I call to them as I fall to your side, as my master sleeps. My name is Kala." I do not know what a painting does. I do not know what a painting does. Does it lean against a wall? It could be any color of wall or house in the kitchen, on the refrigerator, or next to the hard carved wooden masks, the mirror that wakens when you pass by. You add grease, you tap it with the palette knife, the paste moves, then it thins its metals into the glazes, a kind of staccato. It could be a self-portrait with all the difficulties, veiled in the half-dark jacket slapped with burning rectangles, titanium white, as if they were confetti, all in stillness. What else could it be? It is flat, it is smaller than you, even if it is a wall or a fence or a sky where you move your brushes. What does it do? That is my question. It looks back, I think. That is why you paint. You are waiting for the thing in itself to come back to you, to greet you in its odd, oblong, stunted manner, its elegance. It feeds you. It surrounds you. Wherever you go, do not have to walk into it, your tiny room. It merely poses for you when you are at your beginnings. Then it follows you, passes you, dissolves ahead of you, where it is waiting for you when you get there. You will not know it until you see that it is seeing you, seeing you. Thank you so much.
This is Bina, KALW series featuring artists and thinkers who've spoken at the Jewish Community Center of San Francisco. Today's program features United States Poet Laureate Juan Felipe Herrera. Bina is also available as a podcast, and you can find it at kalw.org.
You know, I got to tell you, all that talk about being a salad girl, my mom's stories, but wouldn't have been for her stories or my father's stories. You know, coming up at 14 from Chihuahua in the late 1890s for my father, learning words with a penny, buying words for a penny in English, milk, clock, city, penny, penny, penny. That's how it was.
¿Cómo se dice esto, Jacinto? How do you say esto, agua? Penny, come on. Okay. Water, water. Water, water. Water. Milk. Coffee. City. Word by word.
If it hadn't been for my parents and their stories and their hard lives, I used to think of them as suffering. They worked hard. But it took me a while to discover they were brave. It took me a while to discover they were great pioneers. I hadn't heard that before. That's how it was, you know? Thank you. I saw the documentary called Jews in Tijuana. And, you know, I hung out quite a bit in Tijuana, San Diego, lived there quite a while. It's a great documentary. I really recommend it to you. And so the Jewish people in Tijuana, the Jews in Tijuana, Mexicano, Jews. No, pues aquí estábamos en Tijuana mucho tiempo, they say. We've been here a long time. Y aquí abrimos las tiendas aquí en la calle Revolución. We opened up the stores here on Revolution Road. And then they had children, and their children grew up. And there's by the end of the documentary, that's a great story. By the end of the documentary, their children from Tijuana are, you know, growing up, and they're hanging out on the beach, on Mission Beach in San Diego, California, where I used to go with my 12 transistor radio and my Jean-Paul Sartre novel. To read about Roquentin, Jean-Paul Sartre. Well, I was frying on the beach with my cut-off Chicano khaki pants, otherwise known as beach wear, and my T-shirt, listening to Chubby Checker. And the interviewer asks one of the pioneers of that business, those days in the 50s for Jews in Tijuana. He says, well, you know, now that your children are grown and they're here, you're here in San Diego having a great time, would you rather live in Tijuana or here in San Diego? ¿Qué? Tijuana, de seguro. We're from Tijuana. We'll always be in Tijuana. We're all Tijuanenses. And why is that? Well, let me tell you, okay? Because those Mexicanos, they're a people who believe in social change. And they are a people of revolution. And they have treated us with great kindness. And I go, we are a people of social change? And we are a people that are part and have the revolution as a part of our history and that we're connected to it? Why is this the first time I hear that? So I thank Jews in Tijuana and I thank the Jewish peoples for valuing our culture and our history. This is called Saturday Night at the Buddhist Cinema. This is called Saturday Night at the Buddhist Cinema. When I heard that phrase, I said, I got to write that poem. I heard that phrase on a Zen center, San Francisco Zen Center podcast. A Buddhist cinema? What on earth is a Buddhist cinema? What on earth is that? So I had to, you know, be granted this poem. There were elephants in cabaret dress, reddish and cadmium blue, and dolphins in undetermined incarnations. I felt as if I had interrupted the process. I mean, the organ player had not risen. Remember the Castro Theater off of Market? It was Visconti's Rocco and his brothers, and the lights went out. Maybe 1992, during the Rodney King revolt, the dolphin was working this out somehow. Tweeting, blinking, his tiny saucy eyes. I was in the third row, as usual, in the middle. There was a horse, torn, unbridled, immense, and stoic, being pinned with a hideous metal by the war provosts. It turned to us and waited for someone to take her home. And the cow was there in a Mexican Pancho Villa outfit, spraying everyone with snowflakes. And you should have seen us, how we had realized the way, how we had rubbed the blood off our faces after the killings, and how we stuck it to the assassins huddled in a shabby corner. You should have seen the pig act. The pig, a real pig with a wig and flames, in pinkish pajamas and a cigar, doing a fatty Arbuckle shtick. He even ordered 18 eggs over easy with 18 sides of sourdough, cranberry sauce, sardines, a side of pastrami. He was hanging off the window ledge, top story of the St. Francis, yodeling to a Gloria Swanson lookalike in a cashmere robe. It was hilarious. It was what we all dreamed of. Yes, that was it. It was what we all dreamed of. The chicken in kimono, pirouetted with a piquant harpsichord arpeggio, sonata in E major by Domenico Scarlatti. The evil iris on the side of the cheeky makeup popped. That is when I fell out. Slid to the toilet, but there were no towels or stalls or water. It was some kind of trick, I said, and blew my nose into my sleeve, an Italian piece from Beverly Hills, 1966. Why was I there all of a sudden? For the short feature, everyone shouted, okay, you guys ready? Okay, you guys? We want the tuna! We want the tuna! We want the tuna! What about the tuna? And the organ rose from the stage, the song of Remy der Markwicher jittered the chandelier, sung by a scrabby, lanky tenor in a shredded vest. I had the same chrysanthemum eyes of exile. I had the same wet braided locks and the black spot. We all danced with straw, stuffed violas. We lost ourselves. We regained some kind of tree strength that had been severed. The screen lit up with our faces. Huge hands reached out to us. We lit a tiny fire in the village. That is when my mother, Maria, danced an incredible, inappropriate polka at the center of the plaza. I mean, how could that be? She died decades ago. I was expecting parables on the three treasures. I was running from the bombs. I was delirious for shelter. Outside, everything was on fire, and the gas man was after me. Imagine that. Why me? I said, why me? But it was no use. So I ran in here. So I crouched under the seats next to a woman in an emeraldine scaly dress. She was calm and stunning and strumming a pearl dedge 10-string Stella. You're Ava Gardner, I said. Where's the exit? This is the exit. I want to blame Frank O'Hara for that poem. And, Benjamin Perret, the great surrealist poet, also got me involved in that poem. It's called Poem by Poem. And let's dedicate this poem, in addition to Cynthia Hurd, Susie Jackson, Ethel Lanz, Reverend DePayne Middleton Doctor, Reverend Clementa Pinckney, Taiwanza Sanders, Reverend Daniel Simmons Sr., Reverend Sharonda Singleton, Myra Thompson, shot and killed while at church, Charleston, South Carolina. Let us dedicate it to them, and let us dedicate it to those shot and killed very, very recently in south of Eugene Community College. This is called Poem by Poem. Poem by poem, we can end the violence. Every day after every other day, 9 killed in Charleston, South Carolina. They are not 9. They are each one alive. We do not know. You have a poem to offer. It is made of action. You must search for it. Run outside and give your life to it. When you find it, walk it back, blow upon it. Carry it taller than the city where you live. When the blood comes down, do not ask if it is your blood. It is made of 9 drops, 10 drops. Honor them. Watch them. Stop them from falling. Thank you so much. Thank you. Muchas gracias. Thank you.
If you'd like to ask a question, this is a rare opportunity. I'm coming right to you.
Thank you. Thank you for your readings.
Thank you.
You read in both English and Spanish tonight.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, when you're writing your poetry, do you write in English or Spanish or both? And if you do in both, do you find that you have a different voice in each language?
Yes, I do. I write in both, and sometimes I started writing bilingually and writing in Spanish and also writing in English. I guess, you know, those languages are all in our world. There's so many languages in our world. And the more we let them in, the more we express them and feel them and live them and accept them. And that's a beautiful thing. And sometimes I'm writing in English, and I enjoy writing in English, and it's a really cool world to write in. And I go, you know what, I'm going to take a little break, and I'm going to go and use different instruments, different tonalities. So then I go into Spanish. It's like playing the saxophones and trumpets and clarinets, and all of a sudden you're going with maracas and violins. And they all agree. You know, they all agree. And it's a lot of fun. Let me give you an example, a very short example. So you can feel the feelings, as P.D. Thomas would say, one of our great Puerto Rican poets in the Bay Area. He says, "Say, how you doing, P.D.? I'm feeling the feelings, doing the doings, and seeing the scenes." This is in the mid of midnight, and this is the English version. Okay, I'll give you the English version. In the mid of midnight, and I enjoyed writing this. It was like a Buñuel feeling for me to write this. I got into a Buñuel world. Rumba and chocolate in the mid of midnight, in the turnipine night under the earth that has gone blind. Embrace me on the table of the prayer woman in the anthill dish. Let us go to Carrara to sing to the count of sulfurs and ciphers and reefs, but nothing raining by the killing wall. By the killing wall and the carriages of the skeleton carrier, raining light rain like this, I walk. Rumba y chocolate en la media medianoche y la noche rabanera bajo la tierra que está ciega. Abrázame la mesa rezandera y el platillo de hormiguera. Vamos a Carrara a cantarle al conde de azufres y de cifras y arrecifes. Pero nada lloviznando por el paredón y carruajes de hueseras. Lloviznando, lloviznando, así ando.
Thank you.
You get that.
Juan Felipe, thinking about young people and yourself when you were young, when you were growing up, it's kind of a two-part question. At what point did you become conscious that you loved the written word, that you were going to be a poet as a career? And what would you say to young people as they're growing up? I do a lot of advising with young people, and I always like to look for that spark in their eyes as to when they realize what their life's mission is all about. What would you tell them, or what would you tell me to tell them?
I would tell you, you have a beautiful voice, and I would tell them they have a beautiful voice, the way my third grade teacher told me I had a beautiful voice, and just turn me towards that beautiful land of voices that day by day, year by year, I uncovered those words and had to find what was in those words, and that's what got me here. Well, I would also say poetry can save your life. Find a place to save your life, and perhaps the most immediate place is in your heart and spirit, and the best way to do that is with your voice, to save your life with your voice. And you can save it on a little piece of paper like this. If you do it every day, even if the world around you is in turmoil and everything's falling apart, even if you have a little piece of paper like this and take 10 seconds and just write just a little bit, you know, we will find a little peace in there, a little peace. And that is good when things are going so bad. And if you do it one more time, you'll find another little bit of peace. And you do it another time, a little bit more of peace. And the world is swirling and banging around you. And the more you do it, the better for you and your life. And then you can extend further out and add something to it. You know, you can share it. You can have a little collection. That's second. First is saving your life with your own voice and getting rid of all this pain, too. You're pouring this out right here, not knowing where we're at, right here. But now I know where I'm at. I'm right here, too. I got my voice here. I want to protect it and give it away. Mm. Keep up the good work. Keep up the good work.
Thanks to all of you for coming tonight. Most of all, Juan Felipe Herrera.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, folks.
Bina is a co-production of the Jewish Community Center of San Francisco and 91.7 KALW. For more information about programs at the JCCSF, you can visit jccsf.org. Today's guest was United States Poet Laureate Juan Felipe Herrera. The recording engineers at the JCCSF are Brandon Battaglia, Ben Bernardi, Maya Finley, and Alex Espelay. David Kwan edits and produces the program, and Matt Martin is the executive producer. Our theme music is from the album Masada Rock by the Rashanim Trio, and the music you're hearing right now is by John Zorn. Bina is available as a podcast, and you can find it at kalw.org. I'm Barbara Lane. Thanks for listening.